And welcome to the Steakhouse on a Wednesday morning. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, thanks so much for being with us as we take you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And keep in mind, the Odyssey app continues to just put up record numbers because you are listening no matter where you might be, anywhere around the world. You can get on that Odyssey app and make sure you are. Great coverage of all the interviews that we do. And when you're the home of the Falcons, Hawks, United, and all the big sporting events, then that's just another reason to get aboard and follow us on social media at Steak Shapiro, at Sports Sandra. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. I was wondering about your girls who went to Mercedes-Benz last night for Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
So
what was the concert reviews?
Well, I don't stay up. My wife is the one in the house that, you know, can't rest if the until the girls are home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Steak's the one who's like, I'm out. I'm asleep. Right? So watch some NBA. Went to bed. I get up a little earlier, or just in general. Whatever. I didn't stay up for it. But the interesting thing was, it was the SZA concert. It wasn't the Kendrick Lamar, but SZA was the opening act. So point being, all these kids, my daughter came from Georgia. My high school girl went. They considered it the SZA concert.
Wow. Okay.
And then it was like, oh, Kendrick Lamar. You have the same thing, Bo, or not?
16-year-old at home was like, I have a bunch of friends at the SZA concert, and I laughed. I'm like, uh-uh. No.
It's
the Kendrick concert. Then she proceeded to tell me that she thought Kendrick was garbage. Is that what's going on in high school these days?
I'll just say this.
This is controversial.
Kendrick Lamar played halftime of the didn't. Of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And SZA is the story. So that's what we learned from our kiddos. It was a huge show at Mercedes-Benz, and Pearl Jam was playing at State Farm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and again tomorrow night, where our friend Rusty Mansell, he's going to be banged up from the flow up on Friday. I can't wait to listen to you guys.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's staying in town, right?
He's
going to Pearl Jam. So anybody, first segment, we did this at the 6 a.m. segment. We were doing mornings, but anybody, we need a quick review of either Pearl Jam or Kendrick / SZA. We'll put you on right away. You know how it goes. You get to grade it. Unlike my food reviews, which are 1 to 5, we need a 1 to 10 on SZA, Kendrick, and then Pearl Jam. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Pearl Jam, as Andrew told me, Salsa, our buddy over at State Farm, runs the deal. Pearl Jam is one of those bands you have to see. Like, they're just a iconic band. So I'm wondering if it felt that way last night. And then all the young people, what was the vibe like there? Our audience a little older. Were they there for Kendrick Lamar and SZA? 404-726-0929. You came from the lake?
I came from the lake, but speaking of concerts, so Thursday night in Athens, y'all, I would say arguably the two hottest acts in country music right now, Riley Greene and Ella Langley, are playing at the Capitol Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Thursday night. Larry and I are going, and those are two of my favorites. And I was thinking, gosh, this is quite a little 4 or 5 days.
How big a venue is that?
8,500. I've never been in, but I was texting with Rusty. Don't be jealous, Steak.
Yeah.
I was texting with him last night about where do I go eat, what kind of venue. He's like, you are going to love it. And so I am super excited about that. But what a 4 or 5 days here.
Yeah.
And I know you're seeing a Beyonce tour that is kicked off in Los Angeles. So I believe she's got one more night there tonight.
His daughter, their daughter.
Both daughters. Last night, the second daughter came up, I guess. Yeah.
They opened the show or something, mm-hmm. or strutted out there. Yeah, it's going to be a big summer of concerts.
Yeah, love it.
It's also a big weekend because the Dodgers are in town.
Mm-hmm.
So Freddie Freeman and Shohei and Mookie Betts and that, you know, over-the-top, most expensive lineup in Major League history rolls in Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
We got to be the Sunday night game. Are we the Sunday night game? Because I imagine Dodgers could be the Sunday night game all the time. I don't know. You'll look at that schedule. And then it's the Kentucky Derby as well, mm-hmm. in Louisville. So that's a huge sports day. Be nice if we had an NBA playoff game or something going on, but unfortunately we're out of that mix. But the NBA playoffs are going on. The Derby's going on. Dodgers and Braves are going on, so it's a big sports
weekend. And next
weekend,
Mother's Day. So, yeah. And winter graduations.
Well, all this stuff is coming up. I'll give you that.
Oh, it's
that
so exciting. Good for you guys.
We've got a bunch
That's
of people
great.
Coming in town. Yeah.
We got a big story, though, Steak, we got to get to, because NASCAR's biggest villain has come out and is going after our Chipper Jones. So the backstory on this is at Talladega this past weekend, Joey Logano is a teammate of Austin Cindric. So Joey Logano on their, you know, their radios are open so the public hears it. He's basically saying, I'm not going with this team strategy. I'm not helping him. And it went over the world. So Chipper chimes in with a tweet, pardon me, that I'm going to read to you. And then Joey Logano finds out yesterday and goes after him. Let me give you this tweet, though, first, because it's kind of big deal with the he goes, I guess you don't you must not know what it's like to be a good teammate. I'm paraphrasing. So this is what Joey Logano finds out about it yesterday, and this is what he said.
I would have assumed him being the athlete that he is and was, that he would understand that. And not mouth off on social media like somebody that's never played the sport before or a sport. It's surprising to me. All I can think is just trying to be relevant still or something like that. I don't really know exactly why. Like I said, I've never met him. I don't have a reason to dislike him outside of now. But
wow. Okay, so Chipper's tweet was, sorry, my computer froze up on me. Good teammates are hard to come by, boss. Remember that one of yours MF'd you on national TV when in all actuality you did everything possible to keep from wrecking him. Hate to be hashtag deuces in the team meeting on Monday. Some people are hooray for our team as long as I'm the star, as every team has them. And he goes on and on.
What's his point about Joey Logano as a teammate? What's he saying?
So in NASCAR, when they tell you, like, here's what's going to happen, you got to help Austin win.
Right.
And he's like, I don't think so. And he was like, they were almost wrecking each other.
Because he thought he had a shot to win.
Right.
And team decided this has to be Austin's
That's
race.
Right, which is happening.
And Joey Logano did not want to concede
and
that.
And did curse and MF'd him.
And you
MF'd
could hear
Austin.
Him say it. Yes.
Yeah, it's all public.
And Chipper gets aboard.
I'm on Team Chipper big time. Joey Logano among the drivers. I'm going to say it, NASCAR folks, right? Like, everybody hates Joey Logano.
Right.
Joey Logano wins a lot, and Joey Logano is great for NASCAR. But let me tell you how big Joey Logano is. He's about the size of this microphone. So if Chipper sees him, I would get out of the way, because it is not going to go well for
Chipper
Mr.
Jones,
Logano.
I got news for you. Hall of Famer Chipper Jones is not trying to stay relevant. Matter of fact, Chipper tries to stay irrelevant in the sense that he could be a manager. He could do any broadcast he wants. He could have any gig he wants. Chipper Jones wants to just be a dad.
And Chipper tagged Joey Logano in this, and he says, enjoy this one. In case anyone is confused, let me be clear, at Joey Logano. Like, he literally—
Has Chipper responded to Joey's
I haven't
remarks?
Seen it. No, I want to text
him. And
say
Chipper?
I'll text him now and just say,
because
I just saw this morning. Woo!
You going to ask him any thoughts on Joey's response? Okay.
Yeah.
You'll do that.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Also, you want to mention any of the shows last night as Bo gets set up. We don't have any call yet on that, do we? 404-726-0929. We have that in the mix as well. A lot of fun things planned over the next couple of hours on a beautiful Wednesday morning in Atlanta. Might as well give you our 9 at 9 as well.
Our Atlanta Braves win 8-2. They've won 9 of 11. If they sweep the Rockies this afternoon at a 3 o'clock start, the Atlanta Braves are back to 500 at 15-15. Woohoo! The story last night, it was A.J. Smith-Shawver having his best outing, but in the he goes 5 1/3. They have to pull him because he gets hit stake on. They're calling it the elbow, the National Rider, but Wiley Ballard immediately came on and said he talked to A.J. Smith-Shawver, and he said it was the meat part of his throwing arm, and he thinks he's going to be okay. Certainly we'll know more today. But he goes 5 1/3, gave up just 4 hits and a couple of runs. He was phenomenal. The bullpen just gives up 2 hits over the remaining 3 2/3. So we're feeling pretty good about ourselves as Chris Sale takes the mound today at 3:10.
You know, it's amazing that there are some organizations that if they start 0-7, 1-8, 2-11, whatever, you're like, that season's in the tank. And I would argue the Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Hawks haven't built the loyalty that if they started the way the Braves did, you'd say that season's over. But the Atlanta Braves, you take a deep breath and you go, they're the Braves, and they will figure it out. And indeed, we are barely out of the month of April and already back at 500. I would say after today, especially with the Dodgers coming in, having swept us in L.A., great timing to see where we are. And by the way, no Ronald Acuna yet, no Spencer Strider yet. Like, a lot more good things on the way.
It's so true. And I love that you just said that, because I was watching last night thinking for the Verdugos and the Eli Whites, Michael Harris to get going like he's doing. Jerks and Profar is nowhere to be found.
Nick Allen,
so,
yeah.
And they got back on track by themselves, which is great.
That you find a way you're the Atlanta Braves.
Zachary Richichet, the runner-up for the NBA Rookie of the Year. And the stake, when you look inside the numbers, this wasn't close. Newton High School's own Stephon Castle wins it. In a landslide.
Yeah, he was out front from just about the beginning. Zachary came on late, didn't get enough minutes when, what's his name, was out. Who am I thinking of? Who got injured for us? What's the matter with me?
Jalen
Johnson. Mm-hmm. So when Jalen goes down, Zach, listen, all you care at number one is don't get it wrong. We didn't get it wrong. He's going to keep getting better. He needs to put on man weight. I mean, he was tossed around by the Heat in that playoff game. But good for Zachary Richichet, showing he's got the tools. But Stephon Castle was ready to go.
All right, your Celtics make cute little work of the Magic, 120-89. Jason Tatum with 35-10 and 8.
He's on an absolute mission. If you see Tatum, if you don't think that Olympic thing hasn't riled him up, he wants to be the best player in basketball, and he looks like it. They dust the Magic. And that just shows you the gap. Cleveland-Boston's gap from the rest of the Eastern Conference. I'm talking Knicks, Pistons, Magic, Pacers, Bucks. Not even close.
Yeah.
There's those two teams and everybody else. That's who the Hawks have to realize.
Cade Cunningham, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. As Pistons win 106-103, Knicks are up 3-2 in that one. Milwaukee at Indianapolis.
Oh, where did they blow that one?
Boy, howdy, did they
blow that one. I turn on overtime. They're up by 7 with a minute and a half left. The Bucks and the Pacers score 8 straight to win the game. I got something coming up on that as well.
Okay, and which game? Oh, Clippers, Nuggets. Jamal Murray, have a night.
What'd he do?
43 points for the Nuggets. He was 17 of 26. They went at 131-115.
Hey, so when we come back, the end of the Bucks-Pacers was not pretty. Why one of the biggest stars in all the NBA had to say, my dad acted like an idiot, and why dads, maybe it's prophetic, can sometimes be your worst enemy. We've seen it time and again for athletes. We'll talk about that and more. It's the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak and Sandra, the best 2 hours in Atlanta sports radio are happening now. I can say it's the best two. We only have to do two. I mean, like, if you only have to do two, you just come flying out of the gate.
2 hours.
2 hours is right. Mike, listen, Mike and Carl, they've gone an hour of their lives back, right? Aren't they doing 4 hours now in the afternoon? You know? I mean, men that age, it's only so hard you can work them.
I know.
My gosh. Hey, lots to get to over the course of this morning as Atlanta rocking and rolling. It is a lot of graduations, right?
Yeah.
A lot of pomp and circumstance. A lot of spending for Uncle Steaky here as my brother's coming in, my mom's coming in, my niece is. It's great, but it's just how many dinners am I supposed to? There's a ceremony for graduating high school that's separate. It's some like laureate something deal, and then there's the actual graduation, and then Bobby's graduating. I say junior high school, and then my kids are like, "Dude, what term is junior high school? That's a Northeast term. It's called middle
junior
school.
High.
Middle school.
Oh.
That's what it's called. Middle school. So he's graduating. I was like, is that like a ceremony? Middle school? I mean, they do friggin' first grade now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good for you, Bobby. You got out of middle school. So we're going to do something there. Okay.
Imagine if he wouldn't have.
That would have been a challenge. Yeah, that would have been a challenge. He's going to need another year. He's going to need another year for middle school. And then.
Good news. You'll be the tallest one in your class.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to all that. But just understand, there is a lot of that going on. Prom weekend, this next weekend is another huge prom weekend. So get ready at Maggiano's. And what do you think the top, like, What do you think?
That's a perfect call, Maggiano's, because you go in a group, right?
You go in a group. It's moderately priced, right? Mm-hmm. It's not completely over the top. You got any good prom? If you think prom, Bo, what do you think in terms of that we'll be doing?
Hibachi.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's the best thing to do when you get together with friends, right?
Cheesecake Factory.
I don't know about the guy throwing stuff on prom dresses. Maybe just cover up.
I know you got to be careful.
Listen, there's very little dress to throw anything to. So
that's a great point.
Like, right? Woo, girls.
Cheesecake Factory probably will do fine. Mm-hmm. Outback, I don't necessarily think. Is there a steak restaurant that's kind of?
How about Longhorn?
Longhorn's a good call. Yeah,
they're not rolling into Howell's and Arnett's.
Maybe the bougie ones over at Westminster and, you know, love it or something. But I think normal kids are probably a little more mainstream.
So how does that work if your son is taken to the prom? Do you hand him a couple $100 to go take care of food?
You know, that's a good question.
Because I'm not sure how it works.
You're invited.
Like, Bo, what do you do with a prom? Well, you don't have a son. Sorry. And maybe I'm assuming the boy pays.
Do the boys pay when you invite a girl to prom? That's a great question.
I don't
question.
Know. Somebody
no
let
idea.
Us know. 404.
So my girl's proms, there was no meal before. I told you that. You get on a bus and you drive to the prom. They check. The headmaster checks out to make sure nobody's drinking beforehand. You got to shake his hand before you walk into the venue. And if they think you've been drinking, you're out. So there's no pregame.
There's no breathalyzer? It's just like if you have...
Yeah, they can tell.
They've
been doing it for years. We're not going to breathalyze the kids. The point is they don't want you out before. They want you all on a bus, and you can meet the kids after at 10 o'clock. But they don't have the chance to go to those dinners.
Girls going to those dances in groups is a really big thing now. So the one that I have that's in college now, every dance she went to was with a group of friends. The one that's in high school now is also doing this. So.
Yeah, they kind of pair you off, but really you're just going with your buddies.
I have an expert, Miss Kimberly Shapiro, says the boys pay for the prom ticket.
Oh, okay.
So it's not really a meal thing. Thank you, Kimberly.
They pay for the prom ticket.
And Corsage, they don't really do the dinners. None of them do the dinners anymore.
Okay, well, so I saved money on, period, is I have to buy that prom ticket. All right, let's talk about dads and what a problem they can be in sports and in general. And we have seen that, just personal stories of Atlanta. Josh Smith's dad's famous for sitting behind the basket and telling Josh to shoot! Shoot! And it's like, somebody tell Josh Smith to calm the F down. By the way, drove Mike Woodson crazy. I will say this. I saw Mike Woodson the other night. He's a buddy of mine. He looks amazing.
What's he doing now?
Well, he left Indiana. Okay. And he'll probably get back in the NBA as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. He looked amazing.
Good.
He was definitely worn out by the Indiana experience. It got real ugly at the end. We should have Woody in studio, actually, sometime soon. Josh Smith's dad drove him absolutely crazy. I think if you ask Lloyd Pierce, I think Trey Young and his dad wore him out. Not a lot of warm things to say about each other on the way out. A lot of times, I think when you are recruiting kids, you definitely want to talk to the parents. They can be a problem. I know Rusty's probably listening. Rusty probably has more stories of dads that have screwed up their kids or are the problem. What did you hear about the Falcons? Day before, James Pierce Jr. and his mom and him, conversation, convinced them to take him, where I think they were going to take him at 15. And then all of a sudden, they were like, hold on a second. Jalen Walker's there. But I mean, you know, the parents are a huge part of this whole thing. Anybody that had ever met Matt Ryan's parents would have known this is a good sign that this guy is going to be a one to lead our franchise for a long time. If you met Michael Vick's parents, you would know, boy, that kid is overcoming a lot. How do I know that? Because Mike Vick's dirtbag father, who wanted more money from Mike Vick and tried to
blackmail.
Yeah, essentially blackmail, saying, I will crush. I want you to think about a dad that your son is facing federal prison. That is in the worst crisis of his life, is asking you for more money, and then goes to the AJC and says, yeah, Michael's been fighting dogs since he was a little kid because he didn't get the money he wanted.
Right.
That's how you screw kids up. I saw the Red Sox documentary on Netflix about Jarren Duran, who tried to kill himself. Then you meet the dad, who's a big part of this documentary, and you go, yeah, I get it. This dad was relentless on him. Huge mountain of a man, intimidating dude who said, I was very, very hard on Jarren. Never was good enough. Undersized kid. You can only imagine the self-loathing and pressure. So a lot of that goes on. I say all that, and not to say that Tyrese Halliburton's dad is any of those things, but he is the problem last night where a brawl breaks out almost between the Pacers and the Bucks. Here is Giannis explaining after blowing a 7-point lead with 37 seconds left what he had to deal with.
I believe like being humble in victory, that's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't. Okay? And that doesn't say anything. I'm not trying to minimize their effort. But losing a game, emotions run high, having a fan, which at the moment I thought he was a fan, but then I realized he was Tyrese's son, which I love. Tyrese, I think, is a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So did you see the video? This fan, I mean, that guy really was bullying, got in his face. And then Giannis is like, what is going on?
Dude, the dude is on the court.
Yeah, like what is
with
happening?
A friggin' towel of Tyrese in his face, just taunting Giannis, one of the greatest players in NBA history. Here is Tyrese. How does he feel about the actions of his dad?
You know, as far as the incident between Giannis and my pops, I had no idea it happened until I got to the back and was showed the video. I think it's the emotions of the game just got excited there. But I'll talk with Giannis eventually about it. Just, you know, I don't think that my pops was in the right at all there. And unfortunate, you know, what happened in the end there. But, I mean, this series was a lot of war of words, a lot of war of antics, a lot of stuff going back and forth. And that's just part of, you know, this rivalry and what we've built here over the last couple of years. And
so he obviously is going to have a conversation. It's embarrassing.
And Giannis are tight and are really good friends,
yeah,
is the behind the scenes. So for daddy to show himself like that, and you're not even talking about the team that won. You're talking about the dad.
I wonder how many youth coaches are listening that have stories about good kid, nightmare dad. Nice family, nice kid, can't, you know, doesn't have a chance because of dad. Like, the pressure that dads, the influence that dads, the way they cannot control that it's, you're not the one out there. It's not you. You think it's you. You want this to be your measure of, it's your ego. It's your insecurity.
Shadur.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, that's, listen, I think the swagger comes from, you know, Deion should be smarter. I don't know. I have so many thoughts about Deion. Like, Deion helped this kid get to a certain level. Like, they had a great brand thing going. I think Deion is a fairly measured guy at times, but I think the Sanders show is why he kept dropping. I think that owners said, we don't need all this. And I really think where they misplayed their card was when you start talking, understand who the NBA, NFL owners are. They don't care about anything you have to say in terms of being bigger than the game. When Deion said, we are going to handpick where Shadur is going to go, that is a red flag to NFL owners to either punish Deion for it or just say, you'll learn
your
lesson.
You'll see how this
works. Nobody tells us where they're going to go with the NFL. We're the NFL. We're 32 modern-day kings, right? We're the biggest, most powerful families in the world, and you think you're going to dictate to the Mara family, the Runa family, the Kraft family, the Blank family, the Walmart family, right? You know, you're going to tell us to you know, the Paul Allen. These are the kings of the world. And Deion tells you, we're not sure where we want to let him play. So if anybody's got thoughts on having coached and dealt with dads and knowing that kid has no shot. So another example of a dad showing his ass was that guy's dad. Yeah. 404-726-0929. Am I wrong in saying that Deion rhetoric probably didn't help Shadur at all? Not to mention that room he had called legendary that he built before he was even drafted. Are you legendary when you're a fourth-round pick?
Fifth-round
pick.
Mm-hmm.
Are you legendary? Maybe you should have held. Maybe your dad was legendary, but you're not legendary. And now you're a fifth-round pick and less legendary. 404-726-0929. We'll talk more about it when we come back. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 9:40 coming up in a little bit. Why the Bill Belichick story has turned into one of the most fascinating in recent history. And it ain't this obsession in Atlanta or by this host with Bill Belichick. It is watching the demise of a guy that used to have respect and a woman that is running absolutely roughshod over everybody in her wake. That's coming up. Also, the biggest recruiting battle of the year are two very, very good friends, Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart. That's coming up. We're talking about a topic that I think resonates, and it started in my mind watching Tyrese Halliburton's dad make a fool of himself, act a fool after the game, taunting Giannis. That's where somebody gets punched in the face. Like, if you blow a 7-point lead with 38 seconds left and your season's over, that might be the last moment that Giannis Antetokounmpo plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. That could literally be his last moment. And they blew a 7-point lead with about 38 seconds left, and then this guy's in your face saying, that's what we do. First of all, he shouldn't be on the court. He shouldn't have access to Giannis.
Exactly.
And this is reminding me of how dads can be the ultimate undoing. And for coaches and youth coaches and dads yourself, when you have to catch yourself, if you've ever been thrown out of a gym, okay, you got a real problem. And I've seen and know dads that that happens. If you can't keep it together, if you can't understand what your role is as a dad, you can be tough. You can say to your kid, you want to get better, you better work at it.
Who polices that in a gym, a high school, a middle school, even a ballpark? You're at your kid's game at NYO. Who's policing? An umpire. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, you walk right over and umpire referee says one more word, I'm throwing you out of the gym.
Yeah, so at least at ballparks, the umpires tell the head coaches at the beginning of the game, you are 100% responsible for your parents' actions. So if your parents come to the umpires and there's expletives or if they're yelling at kids, it's the coach's fault and it's going to be the coach who gets booted.
The coach.
It's tough to be in a situation where you're having to manage adults or parents of kids that you're coaching or that are on the other team. I mean, it's almost impossible because, like, what do I say to them?
It is impossible.
We're
peers.
Right. To me, I'm not your teacher or your parent.
Yeah, in basketball, you'll get a technical foul on your kid's team, right? So the referee will come over and say, try to figure out who.
Have you ever gotten one?
I've gotten a technical foul as a coach.
As a coach.
Right.
But not as a parent, not yelling
not
it
as
because
a parent.
Something
I was coaching the team and, you know, I don't know what I said. Probably very little. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I was like, I think what I said, the guy said, stop telling me, and I couldn't help myself. I go, that's a travel. He goes, I said, stop saying that, and he teed me up. And I just literally was saying it under my breath. Still deserved it, right? Like, I'm calling the game from the sideline. It's like, pipe down. He told you to stop doing that.
Right.
So, but I have a hard time. I mean, I understand everybody, you know, struggles with, you know, their emotions. It's hard to imagine being great friends with somebody who can't stay in the gym when his kid's playing. Because I'd be like, dude, what is wrong with you?
But you have a friend like that on the golf course you told me about that you hate going out with him now. It's like you can't – he got in the fight when you guys were all out there. Like, you know, we kind of have that people in
under
our life.
His breath.
Like, maybe, you know, knock it
Listen,
off.
Listen, we had a soccer game this weekend. This guy was in my ear screaming. The soccer parents are right next to each other. So every time your kids get taken down, somebody's yelling for a yellow card or a red card, whatever – your job is to keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing to another parent. Don't start talking about, like, you know, hey, he hit him before. Just pipe down. Don't engage him. Guy on the sideline will handle that. Let's take some phone calls. Sanchez in Atlanta. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Sanchez.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, buddy.
Hello?
Sanchez, you're
What's
on
up?
The air, buddy. Brett and McDonough. Hey, Brett, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, sir. I'm calling because I was just listening to you guys talk about the parents, and I just want to give you a little story real quick about I'm just going to use the guy's first name. His name was Mike, and Mike had a kid that played baseball, and he had been playing baseball ever since he was in the Pee Wee League all the way up, and the guy went to college. And he got drafted to Florida Marlins. And he just his dad wanted him to play so bad. So he called one day and told his dad, he said, Dad, I don't want to play anymore. And his dad was like, why? You know, it just stayed on him. And he finally went and picked him up from the airport. And when the kid got home, brains out. And it was a sad story he was telling me about because he was forced to play.
You tell
he
me
really
the
didn't want to
play.
Are
you telling him? I didn't hear. You tell me the kid killed himself?
He killed himself. And
because his dad dad wanted him to play. He wanted to be done with baseball.
He wanted to be done. His dad made him play all the way through school, all the way through college. And when he finally got to the professional level, he was burnt out. And his dad didn't understand why. And when he finally picked him up.
Appreciate the phone call. 404-726-0929. The most publicized story of late is Jarren Duran of the Boston Red Sox, who says in the Netflix documentary, I had a gun to my chin. I pulled the trigger mid-season. It did not go off. I don't know why, but thank God it did not. He got into it with an Indians fan the other day, a Guardians fan, who started taunting him about trying to kill himself. They removed the fan from the building. They had to calm Jarren Duran down in the dugout because he was losing his mind. His father is featured prominently in this documentary, and you start to understand the level of pressure that these dads put on kids. The car ride home where, listen, I've had plenty of those car rides with both my girls and my boys. It is not the time to overly analyze everything they did wrong. Let them tell you. Everybody knows you double faulted. You know, you faulted, you know, in double faulted. You hit into the net in volleyball on game point.
Yeah.
Right? Like Bobby literally in a 1-0 game the other day, tell you this, he's playing center back, literally gave the ball away, wide open net, blew the game, 3 minutes left, the kid missed the net. Right?
Oh, boy.
Every parent, I was like, that wouldn't have been a fun ride home. Right? 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, finally Bobby goes, that would have been real bad. I go, yeah, what happened there? He goes, I don't know, man, but thank God that kid missed. You know,
oh,
meaning
that's a
like,
great way to put it. Tell me what happened there.
Yeah. Well, or I just waited. Of course he knows I'm thinking about it. Sure. But what am I going to say? Like start berating him?
Right.
We all know what happened. We are like have a nuance to engaging in any. And these dads, dude, they lose their mind. Their identity isn't good enough. Their job isn't good enough. Their wife doesn't treat them nice enough. Their whole sense of self-worth is their girl playing volleyball or their girl playing softball or their son playing basketball, mm-hmm. and that's their self-worth. And that's where it comes from, insecurity, and these dads acting a fool. At the professional level, you can cause them a lot of problems. I'd argue Deion's whole thing, that whole routine, didn't help one bit when it came to Shedeur Sanders ending up in the fifth round and costing himself $20, $30 million. Alexander in Lawrenceville, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, how you doing, Steak?
Good, buddy.
I just want us to look at this thing from a total perspective because we can't sit here and say the thing about Shedeur when Archie Manning back in the day pulled one to get Eli where he needed to be. Also, if you want to talk about the fans, yes, Halliburton's dad, he shouldn't have did that, but he also is a fan. So if you're going to police the fans, you have to police every fan that ever did anything. Just like Shaq said, when they was out there, Shaq was playing back in the day, they were doing some of the same things. So
that was 30 years ago. Are they not policing the fans? You don't think the NBA polices the fans?
But this is my thing. If we're going to point out that situation, we got to point them all across the board.
Okay.
Just because this is dad, that's why he's getting the light on it. But you're right.
John Halliburton had a pass to be on the floor, which is why he was
even
allowed
worse.
Class to
that
security.
That much worse.
So, you know, that's
that
what happens. You can get your family members
fan
on
fan would be arrested.
Yeah.
Fan might be arrested.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. You're not
wrong. But what I'm saying is this, right? Like you just said, we're 30 years away from that situation. So that means we should be even more tight with security. We should be even more tight with seeing what's going on and preventing something.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to. But that guy's got a
pass. The last person I'm going to stop is Halliburton's dad. Like, literally, I'm Halliburton's dad.
He's your best player.
Yeah, right.
He's your best player's dad. Guess what NBA and NFL guys don't like is when their family doesn't get access.
Yeah, that would have been a whole nother trouble.
There's a reason why those little kids are walking around in locker rooms because, listen, I don't know how the Celtics feel about Jason Tatum's kid, but that kid's been given access to the locker room since he was like 3, right? Why? Because best players want certain things that other players don't get.
That's right.
Tyrese, probably his dad, has access that others don't have. So, you know, the Eli Manning card that Archie Manning played, okay, that was 30 years ago also, or 25 years ago. And all I'm telling you is that Deion's starting to dictate or say he's dictating didn't help him. That room that said legendary didn't help him. Being aloof in interviews didn't help him. So none of that stuff helped him. And if somebody thought it was an absolute no-brainer, he was better than Cam Moore, they probably would have drafted him. But they didn't. So none of that stuff helped already. It just said, this is a headache. Dads cause more problems. Rusty literally said he could do an entire Netflix documentary mm-hmm. on the dads that try to get Rusty, get a kid from a 3-star to a 4-star and what they'd be willing to do. Cut off their pinky to make sure the kid gets a higher grade, right? 404-726-0929. If you want to talk more about it, we got some college to talk about as well.
It's Georgia versus Oregon. It's Kirby versus Dan Lanning. Y'all, it's going down. When I'm talking about Jared Curtis, which is the number one recruit for 2025, quarterback out of Nashville, Tennessee, 6'4", 225. There were 6 schools. It's down to 2. Mike Bobo and staff will be in his house today. And I was chatting with Rusty this morning. They both, Dan Lanning, Kirby, and Oregon and Georgia will be back on Sunday. And this young man is set to make his announcement on Monday. And that's where you're going to see the dominoes fall. According to Rusty, this is kind of going to be the key cog, and then the other recruiting decisions will fall down the line for all these other kids. So this is as big as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Oregon is an absolute juggernaut on the other side of the country with Phil Knight money pouring in, one of the sexiest brands in all of football. Dan Lanning takes the job. He would have stayed at Georgia longer, but when Oregon comes calling, you're going there. They're very good friends. It's a fascinating recruiting story to see how it plays out.
Friday will be interesting with Rusty in here because I'm sure he's going to know exactly how this goes down today. Steak, I know folks are probably getting sick of it, but this story won't go away. And I'm talking about Bill Belichick and this Jordan Hudson. The latest headline, brand new this morning. Do we remember how Hard Knocks had decided to go to North Carolina and they were going to pick the Tar Heels this year?
Yeah, we're going to spend a year in Carolina football.
Yeah. Signed, sealed, and delivered until it wasn't. And the reports out of The Athletic are that Jordan Hudson played the key role in stopping the previous planned production of HBO Hard Knocks to the tune of March the 1st. Everybody's there ready to shoot, and it is stopped.
Damn.
It's costing North Carolina just over $200,000 to just deal with all the wasted time and energy. So this doesn't stop with this woman as more details are coming out about behind the scenes. And Steak, I talked to you yesterday about how it wasn't just locally we're talking about it. All the talk shows, Howard Stern, Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick, and Albert Breer. And I believe Albert Breer is Monday morning quarterback and covered the Patriots,
right? Yeah, covered
right?
New England for years. For 20 years, he covered Bill Belichick.
This is them just sitting around talking about it. Great conversation.
She could have been hands-off from the standpoint of, this is a book about Bill and winning. This has nothing to do with her, their relationship, or North Carolina. Now, would I still ask? Because she's interrupting? I probably would have said, why don't you come over here and sit down with us? Because you're disrupting the interview. Either be in the interview or get out of the room.
It also sort of makes Bill look weak, doesn't it?
Yes,
like, it does. We can call it what it is. Like, if you're talking about, like, making him look good, that wasn't happening either.
And that's kind of what you said.
This is a man who has preached no distraction, discipline, taking everything around you seriously. And you have a 24-year-old woman with her hands on every level of a college football organization, of which you've never coached one minute. If you don't think the folks in North Carolina are second-guessing this, it's almost like he done did lose his mind. This is your buddy with a multi, billion-dollar company that meets some floozy, right?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, when this first went down,
ready to hand over the reins to his life's work, and all the kids are freaking out going, Dad,
what is going right?
Like, what is the decision-making and judgment of the head coach of North Carolina?
Right.
What is it?
The wheels have come off this thing, y'all.
Yeah, why are you so petty? Why are your grudges run so deep? Why is she involved in decisions that no woman of that age, never around a football team, should be involved in? What is your decision-making process? We are a laughingstock. You are a laughingstock. And the number one story around our football team is about everything but our football team.
So, Bill Belichick needs to put her in timeout.
What? I mean, why are they afraid of him that they can't say she's not allowed in the
Something's going on, Steak, where she right? Like, it's not adding up. Do y'all all agree?
North
like
Carolina,
this is not adding up.
North Carolina is
Does
one of the
Does she have
most,
something on him? Is this timetable of them
him?
Dating?
He's like lost his mind.
That's too easy of an explanation. You know me. I'm like, there's something going on.
I don't know. Look at him.
Here.
He looks like a guy that lost his mind. He has no say in anything. Mm. Hey, when we come back, more dad conversation, 404-726-0929. The worst situation you've seen, do you blame the dads for any of these professional athletes or any of the things that happened to them? And also, why the Falcons win total has the steakhouse smelling money? Benjamin's. 404-726-0929. The game. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, we were talking about the incident on the court after the game last night. Tyrese Haliburton's dad in Giannis's face taunting him what could be his last game with the Bucks. Just lost an absolute heartbreaker. And then just the nonsense of dads and moms. I mean, let's be honest. It cuts both ways. Anybody ever seen Dance Moms, right? Anybody see what that looks like?
Cheer Moms. Are you kidding?
I'm talking about the was it the show?
The Dance Moms, yeah. But yeah, what's happening at these cheer events and the moms, I don't want to say who told me, but I have heard some deep, dark stories of the moms.
What's the worst stuff you've seen or heard?
Stealing somebody's bow, their other kid's bow in their hair, like being bullies to another team, screaming, and when they fall and going hard. I can't even believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah, look, hey, cheer moms, that's a whole different that's a whole different devil right there. And look, I used to be in that world. Olivia still goes to a cheer camp every day. She just doesn't do the organized cheer. She chose softball. But yeah, that's they get crazy. And they get crazy on one another.
Within the team.
Because of what role the girl has within that
placement
group.
Or whether the girls should be there. They get into it with instructors. Yes.
Somebody else's daughter falls and ruins the event.
They
I've
blame
heard about that.
That kid for
That's
messing
right.
up the whole thing. Yeah.
It's terrible.
God. Toxic. That stuff's
And
toxic.
I did have a girlfriend 10 years ago that was banned from the ballpark because of her son. That she was yelling and cursing, and they literally banned her from the ballpark.
Yeah, no. I mean, a lot of times I see moms that literally they cannot control themselves. I mean, every time their kid gets touched in soccer, physical sport, and that's what I'm doing mostly now, they are losing their minds. Like, kids go down, or that's what yellow cards are for. Okay, your kid got tripped from behind, so now the referee holds a yellow card. What else would you like? A pound of flesh? That's what that
so
exists.
Crazy.
Do you want that kid, you know, like that? That's why there are rules.
Right.
That was a foul. That was a violation. What else would you like? What's going on?
Yeah.
That kid. It's like, you know, and you're so close. And all of these, you're so close together. But at a high level of, you know, Division I athletes and understanding that the nuance of being the right supportive parent who says, I'll hit BP with you any night of the week you want. I'm not going to make you hit for 2 hours every night till your hands are blistered and bleeding, but I am there anytime you want to do it. But you're going to have to tell me that this is your passion point. You know, I have the conversation now. You want to play high school soccer? You want to play at a high level? Practicing 2-3 times a week and one game a weekend, that's not going to get it done. You're going to have to go to the next level, but that you're just going to have to let me know, right? You want me to drive you up to... There's a big field at Hammond. Anybody been to Hammond? It's a massive soccer field. Kids are up there playing. But, like, you know, if you drop your kid off there and say you're stuck here for 4 hours, that ain't going to work. It's going to have to come and say, I want to go do this. And, you know, the Jason Hayward stories of the hours they would drive to go to East Cobb baseball while Jason Hayward would do his homework in the car, and his parents' role was very clear. If this is your dream, we were going to try to make it happen, and we will drive you there, and we'll leave at 5:30, and we'll sacrifice, but I'm not going to berate you on the ride over, but we are going to show you that we're going to do everything possible to let your dreams come true. Rusty Manziel sees it constantly. There's two kinds of parents. If you don't think Josh Smith's dad questioning everything Mike Woodson did affected his NBA career, right? Do I think that Trae Young's dad is a great supportive dad in a lot of ways? Yes. Do I think he can be the scuttlebutt is that he can be an issue a little bit as well, and he's not the only one that, like, all these coaches know what they're dealing with, right?
And I'll take it back to college and the NILs that's going on with both moms and dads circumventing the kid altogether and going to these schools about money. And then trying to play one against the other, keeping the agent complete. I'll be your agent, and I'm going to go negotiate you a brand new deal.
Maybe your kid is happy at the University of Tennessee, and maybe he's not playing, but dad's desperate because he hates sitting in the stands.
The rumor with Nico Amaliyava that said, like, okay, well, we're going to go get you way more money here, and this is how it's going to go down. And Tennessee was big enough and bad enough to say, no, we don't want him here anymore.
My point is, too, that with the worst thing about the portal is that these kids are given too many decisions. Their heads are spinning. I can make more money over there. Mm-hmm. I can get more playing time over there. My dad wants me to transfer. I have friends here. I like my classes. I'm doing well, but I'm not playing as much. And they want me to go where I can play. Nothing parents hate more than going to games or going to travel and sitting there for 3 days and your kid barely plays. And the higher up you go, I mean, there are these – I mean, if you start playing like – you know, East Cobb and these other places, I mean, you may go a whole weekend and your kid barely gets in a game. It's not fun. I'm not going to lie to you. I sat through tournaments where my kid barely played. It was like, I can't believe I drove 7 hours. You know, all due respect, like, I'm here to watch my kid. She's not even playing. But, like, your job there is to
be in the stands.
Button it up.
That's right.
And don't blame everything on your my coach. It's amazing, right? It's always the coach. You win the game, it's never the coach. You lose, every kid's got a story about the coach. I'm so mad at coach right now. I'm like, okay, why are you mad at him?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, we should have won that game. You lost 6-0. You didn't have a shot on goal. So I'm just curious.
Which part
should you have won? So coach flipped your right halfback and your left halfback, and that's why you literally were running in the wrong direction the entire game? You're right. Coach really messed that one up, kid. 404-726-0929. Donna in Decatur. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay. I have a funny story. I grew up here in Atlanta, the Gap County, and I played on the basketball team, and I sat on the bench mostly. But we had a great player who was a starter, and her mother would come to almost all of our games. And the mother... I hate to stereotype someone, but she was a doctor's wife. She looked very beautiful and elegant and sort of patrician-like, like you'd see her buying clothes in Neiman Marcus. But she was an absolute rabid fan in the stands. And she used to bring this doll that was about a foot tall. I think she made it. And it was dressed like a referee with black pants and a vertical striped shirt.
Oh, no.
And whenever the ref would make a bad call, she would, like, shake it up in the air, like, literally shake the hell out of it. And all of our, you know, school fans in the stands with her would be, like, you know, rabid and hooping and hollering about the bad call and everything. So until one day, the ref made a very bad call, and she took out this hat pin that was, like, 5 inches long, and she started poking it like a voodoo doll.
Oh, boy.
And the ref, as he was running up the court, you know, following the ball up the court, he looked up in the stands and he saw the doll being punched, you know, with a pin.
Pin, yeah.
And he called it technical on our coach.
Dude, that's insanity, right? That's somebody with a screw loose.
It happens, y'all. It's going down. So, and there may or may not be in the Yetis a little something-something to get these parents all juiced up, too. So it's like, look out, world.
Yeah, how about situations where you're driving your kid home, but you know that dad is, you know, that Yeti is all mm-hmm. kinds of full with something mm-hmm. in there, some brown liquor or something. I mean, mm-hmm. Listen, youth sports, it's just, there's so much to contend with. It's all about the meeting. You know, we've had him in here before, Jeff Warburton, who's a great friend of ours, been on the air in Atlanta for years. He's like a premier youth coach for 20-something years. The meeting before the season with the parents and the kids, This is exactly how it's going to go down, parents. You know, if your kid wants playing time, he comes to me and advocates. He's not coming in, or I'll have a talk. I'm not having it after a game when you're hot after, you know, traveling and your kid didn't play. Yeah. We're not having, you know, like, this is acceptable in the stands. This is, I mean, like, the coach has to be extremely vigilant in what behavior is going to go and what not, right? And then, you know, understand.
And then enforce it, you know, so then you're bad guy twice. You got to... I wouldn't be a coach these days. Listen, for all the tea in China.
Right.
Goodness gracious.
And to embarrass your kid. Yeah. How many kids are humiliated by the antics?
Well, I'm getting so many texts, Day-Day being one of them, the amount of kids that quit because of they hate the game because of their parents.
Right.
And yeah, Rusty, I guarantee you Rusty has the stories, but head coaches, I can't imagine what they're dealing with now with parents. And I need to speak to you regarding money and everything. It's just...
Well, yeah, because I think, again, that the portal has just opened it up more, that I need to see my kid play and I'm going to manage your career. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing is you go to play, you know, at the University of Florida or you go play at Purdue, like, we have your kid and we're going to manage his career. Now the parents and the agent are going to try to manage that kid's career. So we're going to decide where you can make more money, where you're going to get more playing time, what sets you up better for a draft and or situation. Well, you know what? Sometimes great for a kid, show up at school as a freshman and find your way. You're probably not playing pro sports to begin with, and just go through the process where the school can help you. Now everybody's managing that kid, right?
So true.
There's just way mm-hmm. too many folks, and kids' heads are spinning. I didn't even really want to leave. Or I thought my dad convinced me that I should have been getting more playing time. Or that, you know, we agreed on $4,000 a month, right? So that would have been $80,000 for the year. But, you know, now I'm being told you got to go in coach's office and get more because mom and dad need that or whatever.
Mom and dad are reading the news that teammate Joe Smith over there is getting double what you're getting. So, good. Whew.
Yeah, it's a lot to contend with. And at the pro level, it's happening because of what happened in the confrontation. Halliburton's dad in Giannis's face almost had a brawl breakout. Now, again, it's a basketball brawl. It's all relative.
I agree with you. As close as he was, I don't know how Giannis didn't punch him right square in the face.
If I was taunted at one of the lowest points of my professional career, I don't know how you don't rear back. Complete instinct, male or female. Now you got to deal with you punch somebody in the face, right?
Get your face a nice facial. Spasadel for Mother's Day, you guys. Here's what's going down. We've got a $250 gift card for you.
Damn.
And that is substantial. That is like a half a day's worth. You can get a massage. You can get a specialized facial.
That's like half of $500.
So what I'm saying is, yes, it's a great, great giveaway. And I want to remind you right now for Mother's Day, which is next Sunday, you can buy a $150 gift card, and they're going to give you an extra $50 bonus to use in the future. So that's a great, great deal. You can book an appointment while you're at it. To win the gift card at 404-726-0929, Steak was talking about the prom. The first restaurant that he mentioned that would be a great place for the kids to go. Okay? What was it? 404-726-0929. It's Spasadel for Mother's Day. Give her the gift of relaxation.
Hey, I don't know if this place is the place for prom, but Chili's is not just the hottest restaurant in America. It's one of the great business stories in recent memory. How did somebody at that place turn a company completely around? We'll belly up. We'll take more phone calls, 404-726-0929. And the Braves-Dodgers weekend that you don't want to miss. I can't believe it could be at 500 by the time this thing kicks off. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:24, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, thanks for being with us. Talking about daddy ball, also just daddy ball at any level. We're reacting to some of the stuff that happened last night. Braves get a win. It's a great win against a horrifically, historically awful baseball team, the Colorado Rockies.
They looked like the Keystone Cops on several occasions last night. It was awful. Braves win 8-2. They've now won 9 of 11. They had 14 hits last night. They only struck out twice. And when you're waking up this morning, y'all, the Braves are 14-15. Chris Sale is on the mound this afternoon at 3 o'clock with a chance to end April at 500 after an 0-7 start. It is really remarkable. So let's get her going. Now, you mentioned the Dodger series. So we do know Braves are off tomorrow, y'all. So they'll come home this afternoon. They're off tomorrow. Friday night, Grant Holmes and Yoshinobu Yamamoto is going. Saturday at 7:15, Schwellenbach and Roky Soskie. And then it is Sunday night baseball. Bryce Elder and undecided for the Dyers. So there you go.
What a weekend series to have the Dodgers here. Kind of the litmus test of like literally crawling out of the gate with an awful four games in San Diego. And then, of course, the three games against the Dodgers. And you came home and you still were struggling. But you got right. You got right.
And you got right without Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna and Jurickson Profar. So it's really something. And
yeah,
this
well,
is,
take Jurickson Profar out of your even out of your mind.
But I'm just starting from the very first day.
Yeah, Alex
of the season.
Verdugo. Listen, Alex Verdugo has been a great pickup for them, right? And then other guys like Nick Allen stepping up, Eli White stepping up. I mean, that's what it is. Can you do it on a sustained basis? Maybe not, but can you do it for 2 or 3 weeks?
Allie Mack on the morning shift had a great question this morning on her show, saying, "Okay, Ronald Acuna's back. Who are you sitting, Eli or Verdugo? What are you going to do?"
Yeah, well, that's a first-class problem to have, I guess.
Yeah.
Alex Verdugo, normally, he is who he is, you know? He's
You go with a hot bat is what you're doing, yeah. Or righty-lefty, whatever
yeah, I mean,
situation.
Verdugo's
but what
not
are you doing, Bo?
You know what Snit's going to do? Snit's going to platoon him because there's a lefty
Perfect.
And a righty.
There yeah. you go.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
That is what you should do.
But
absolutely.
You're right.
And Eli White's got great speed.
They both earned the at-bats, but nobody's
totally
going to keep Ronnie
Verdugo,
on the bench, and it shouldn't be Harris sitting. So.
When we needed him, they stuck him in the leadoff spot in that homestand, and he got things cooking. So that's a good story as well. You're asking me about the NBA playoffs. That's not part of your belly up, right?
It can be. What would you like? The ratings?
No, I thought you were going to ask me why the ratings are so good.
Yeah, well, that was a pre-show meeting, but I'll do it on the air now. Steak.
I mean, yeah.
I'm looking at the numbers, and I sit and watch the clips
mm-hmm.
from Charles and Company,
yes.
and they are banging on the NBA and how boring it is. The ratings have never been higher, and this is not even the finals yet.
Right.
Why
They're
is that?
They're having a good
okay,
start
go
to
ahead.
The playoffs.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Because just old people that, you know, traditionalists whine about the NBA. The NBA is full of superstars. I have a 13-year-old son. Knows every star in the NBA. He also knows every star in Premier League soccer and all that. These are relevant sports, right? More so than baseball. NFL is king, but the NBA is not far behind when it comes to their stars. Anthony Edwards against Luka Doncic and LeBron James, that's big-time television. The Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell against Jason Tatum and then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all these are superstars.
Right.
These are absolute superstar powerhouse teams. The Knicks being relevant again with Jalen Brunson. There's plenty of power in the NBA. The Luka story is a big story. The NBA is fine. They don't have to worry about too many whatever. Celtics did not make one three-pointer in the first half last night. The NBA playoffs is still about physicality when it gets to the postseason, and there are some great stars. So that's why the league's numbers are up, because there's a lot of storylines. Just like the NFL that is king of great storylines, the NBA has their share as well. And by the way, if you didn't follow, the Pistons survive after that horrendous call the other night. They go to Madison Square Garden, yes, and they beat the Knicks in New York. Sorry, Ben Stiller, boo-hoo, Tracy Morgan, all the stars. Pistons get a dub there. That game is game six. And the Nuggets that were basically without, you know, a head coach 3-4 weeks ago, they're on the verge of beating the Clippers, who some thought was a team that could win the NBA Finals. So
Jamal Murray, 43
yeah, I didn't see that
points.
Coming.
So your two games tonight, Golden State at Houston, 7:30, Warriors up 3-1. Timberwolves at the Lakers is at 10 o'clock.
Now that's the game.
Minnesota up 3-1. They can eliminate the Lakers
in
tonight.
LA.
In LA,
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Luka Doncic is out this quick with all the, you know, worst trade in NBA history? Look at him. LeBron ain't getting any younger. So that whole Luka and LeBron thing, maybe next year. But other than that, okay. The Lakers always build around their stars. But let's be clear: if they're out in the first round, then maybe one more year of Luka and LeBron. So that's not exactly – Nico Harris, you know what he's saying? I got Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and a pretty good cast, and we'll be better than the Lakers next year.
We shall see. You mentioned storylines. Stephen A. had a moment yesterday where he's very good friends with Pat Riley, and he said the time may be over for Mr. Riley in Miami.
The reason I'm bringing up that there has to be a change in Miami is because you have to get people to want to come to Miami. Mm-hmm. And he's not that guy anymore. Not that guy. He knows what he's doing. He's not gone. Mm-hmm. But he can't get the right people to Miami. I think what I'm trying to say is that Eric Spoelstra needs to be the president of basketball operations for the Miami Heat.
Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. He's 80 years old. That's fine. I mean, you know, it's a horrendous look that Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler humiliated him by saying Pat Riley cried to me about trying to fix things, and I still left. And meanwhile, he's going to be in the next round of the playoffs. The Miami Heat had two of the most humiliating losses of any team in history. They lost by 60 in an elimination game. This is an example. So I'm driving with Bobby last night, and he goes, Dad, you hear what Tyler Hero said? I said, no. What did he say, Bobby? Tyler Hero said, don't let us get one, because we're going to get all four. Don't give us one, we're going to get all four. And then they lost by 60. So Tyler Hero sounds like an ass, right? Don't let us get one. We're going to get this one, and we're going to get them all, you know? Well, how'd that work out? Uh-oh. Yeah, I think, you know, listen, Pat Riley's had a great run. I think Eric Spoelstra, people still love playing in Miami. Mm-hmm. That's a sexy franchise.
It's a very sexy market, just the whole vibe. If Atlanta would get it together, we would be among the top sexiest markets.
I
like,
agree.
Come on, folks.
I think
let's
do
belly up real quick.
Hey, by the way, 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure wash company. Also, who's our winner of our Spasa del $250? Tina in Duluth, you a winner.
Way to go, Tina.
Tina's going to be feeling real good.
We're giving more away tomorrow, just a heads up. From what I can tell, Steak, it wasn't just one segment. It wasn't just two segments, but it was three segments on Inside the NBA where Shaq and Kenny and Charles and the whole crew were going at it, talking about this whole Giannis and Halliburton's dad.
I think that's why you're an idiot, too.
Giannis says
no. That's not true. No, I'm just telling you. That dad is an idiot, and if you think he's an idiot, you're an idiot, too.
I will say that his dad is always on the court.
No.
I will say this. We all have met his dad, and he has.
His dad's always on the court.
He should be on the court.
You don't have an entitlement because your son is playing to be on the court.
Hold on, time out. He's always on the court.
He should be on the court.
I don't care. He's always on the court.
He should not be on the court talking to other players.
Hilarious. And they were really screaming at each other. It was very funny.
Shaq and real.
Oh, for real?
Shaq is like, Giannis, take the loss and stop whining. And Charles is like, dude, if somebody got in my face or if they got in Tyrese Halliburton's face like that, Shaq's like, I lost a lot of games over the years. I've dealt with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Stop whining.
Yeah.
Pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Restaurants in general are down about, I don't know, if they're not flat, they're down 5%. It's a very hard time for restaurants to be successful. Very hard time right now. Casual dining in trouble. Chili's is up 30%.
I heard you and Drew talk about this, and I don't think I understand.
Do you know what they were up the month before?
No.
30%.
Okay, why is that? Y'all mentioned a meal or something. I don't think I understand the point.
So Chili's has gone in on the notion of price with inflation and everything else. And they basically show you a McDonald's Big Mac, and they show you fries, and they go, this cost $11.47.
Okay.
Come to Chili's for $10, have a house-made burger, free chips, free salsa, a waitress serving you, TVs everywhere. We're in a real restaurant. Then they have this triple dip thing or whatever, the three appetizers. You know what they're talking about?
Wow.
Which has become the viral sensation.
Yeah, it's something where you have like sliders and a couple of different appetizers.
Yes.
You can pick three, and it's still like $10.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, whatever these two, and the triple thing has become like a viral thing.
The triple dipper.
Yes.
Three appetizers served with dipping sauces.
Yeah. How much?
Wow.
I think it's under $10.
Wow.
They are on fire like no restaurant brand late. And they're saying, you know how you drive into your fast food place? What used to be $7 is now 14.
Yeah.
Well, come to a real restaurant and we'll charge you the same amount of money. And we're actually having chefs cook them in the back. Great idea. Great concept. Never that they mentioned fast food
but
before.
You know what? I'm going to, and you do a little show, Atlanta Eats, and you probably know more than me, but what I just was seeing yesterday is Martha Stewart was talking with Kelly Clarkson and saying, I have never ordered in. The ordering in and the DoorDash and the Uber Eats, when you are paying $35 to get McDonald's, so that goes against what y'all are saying in terms of spending money. Do you realize how much your kids or your family spends on it?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the restaurants are in trouble, and people are eating out less. So restaurants
but
are
they're ordering in
but
more.
But you lose 30% of that to Uber Eats. That's not a good business model for restaurants either. So you're losing.
But my point being
the money to be made is in the restaurant, not with Uber Eats, everything else. It helps survive. So,
but people are choosing to stay in and pay more. So look at it from the consumer side of this.
Some people are, but the spend is down overall. Now, young people will spend a lot of money to have it delivered, but the spend at restaurants is less. Post-COVID, restaurants were on fire for 2 years. Everything since then, it's a grind. Not at Chili's, right?
How often are you ordering in? I think that's also a good topic because Martha Stewart's like, I have never ordered in my life.
Okay,
and
well, Martha Stewart's not the demo that they're searching for. When we come back,
how about the Shapiros?
We'll play Three Strikes and a couple other topics. Sports Radio 929. Hey, Sports Radio 929, the game. Steak Shapiro. Sandra Golden, thanks so much for being with us. Home of the Atlanta Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United. Hey, Bo, when's the next United game? Is this part of the big weekend coming up here? A lot of stuff cooking in Atlanta and in sports in general. So,
have you ever been to the Derby?
What's that?
Have you ever been to the Kentucky Derby?
I have been to that. We got Nashville. Where's that game though? Are we here?
Oh, good.
Damn. What time? Oh yeah, that's right. My son's going. Yeah, Bobby's going. So it's an early start, right? Indeed. So you got the Derby. You got the Dodgers. You got Nashville, all a part of it. And I've been to the Derby. We're going to a fancy Derby party.
Mm-hmm.
It's my wife's birthday. On Friday, I said, what do you want to do? So one of her friends convinced her about this super bougie Kentucky Derby party from some club that they're doing in an airplane hangar. They're throwing a derby party in an airplane hangar with music and bands.
So fun.
And
wow.
Big screens and all that. And my wife now has said, so I'm getting very stressed about expenses and costs and college next year and all these things. And I basically reached out and I was like, dude, I need some of those tickets. My wife's birthday. You got to hook me up. Like, I'm going to be honest. I played the card, like the birthday card. I ain't buying those tickets. You got to hook me up. It's a birthday, right? Right. The guy who's throwing the party, essentially.
You have to buy tickets to go to a party?
It's just, dude, it's an event through a thing. Don't ask, all right? It's not like yes, you buy tickets to this party, okay?
Okay.
So I am so proud that I finagled, right? The club is throwing it. I said, I need you to hook up Kimberly. It's her birthday. Like, come on. This will be your birthday present. And now what do you think's happening? Where do you think I'm losing on the other end?
An outfit. Tootsies is happening, and now what are you wearing? I immediately thought that's what you're going to
say. The hat.
The dress, the shoes.
What do you mean the dress?
It's a whole thing.
You don't think she has enough dresses?
No, ma'am.
For a Kentucky Derby party?
What are you going to wear?
I don't have a seersucker suit. Maybe I'll go to Miller Brothers. Do I need to wear a seersucker suit?
Yes.
I got to wear a seersucker suit?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Go Google Why can't Tom I just... Brady at the and all
Edelman,
your boyfriends.
Edelman. Amendola. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those dudes. Well, can't I just wear like a really good-looking, cool suit with sneakers?
Sure.
For the Derby?
Yes.
I have those clothes. Why does she have to buy an outfit? Why does it have to turn into more money? And the hat? Now, I said, I asked her, do we have a hat available at the house, right? And you know how these girls are? All competing against each other for the outfit, right?
You got to win the day.
And it's her birthday, So now she's going to come to me about it, but we just made a pact that we're not going to spend a lot of money. But then this Derby
that
party.
That starts Monday. That's,
here's the three strikes questions. Who is worse at kids' games, mom or dad? Worse at kids' games, mom or dad? Give me, for Atlanta, more fun, a casino or a horse track? A casino or a horse track? More fun for Atlanta. And where did you eat dinner for prom? Where did you eat dinner for prom? 404-726-0929. Worst at kids' games, mom or dad. More fun for Atlanta, casino or horse track. Where did you eat dinner for prom? Can you imagine on a Friday if there was a horse track, I don't know, in Fayetteville, right? Let's just say because they're building everything else over there, right, between Trellis and the – Dan Cathy's
beautiful.
From. Let's say we build a horse track out there. That we're just like, yeah, we're all going to the track 2 o'clock today. We'll meet you there. Cocktails, the races, Friday afternoon. I mean,
that'd
how much
be
fun that would be? You'd be outside.
Yes.
You're not in some casino downtown.
That's like a great question.
Like a derelict at a craps table at 3:15 in the afternoon. What? I mean, I think my mom was listening. I think everybody would agree that better for Stakey if there's not a casino in downtown Atlanta.
Right,
we've been to the craps table together. We have a lot of fun.
It was one of my most fun nights of my entire life.
I am a great craps player.
Agreed.
Doesn't mean that, like, I understand the odds. I understand the betting, you know, way to win money. You have to have enough to be able to survive enough seven out, whatever. It doesn't mean I win even 50% of the time, but I just know how to play the game, right? I studied it.
You're very good at it, and you're very good explaining. You're very good at rallying the table.
Right.
Everybody's cheering.
You're great
at rallying the bartenders. Everybody get over here. We need a round. You were Mac Daddy.
Heart 8 for the dealer, heart 10 for the dealers. Then the dealers are behind you. Get the guy nicknamed Johnny Come Lately or White Suit Power, White Suit or something, or, you know.
And they got a hold of your name, Steak. How long did you roll that night?
I don't
know. Everybody was winning.
Steak.
It was so loud. Who was with us? Was it Mike Bell and Domino?
It was just Domino.
Me and Domino.
Yeah.
Backwoods in Indiana.
We were in Indiana. We get back to the hotel. Mm-hmm. Sandra wants to go to bed. Me and Domino sprint across the highway.
No, we went through. We were in the car. We had to stop at that Steak and Shake.
Oh, okay.
And the woman who has questionable teeth.
Yes,
and it might have been a meth habit. But then
there was no chance she was the crystal meth addict. The woman who drove us home from that casino.
It was sad and
then
terrible.
What?
I don't know why you guys were running across the street because we were in the drive-thru because we were having such a hard time in that drive-thru.
It was such a late night. Remember, we skipped dinner.
We sure
did. I just was like, guys, you don't go to dinner in the middle of a roll like this.
It was so fun. Like, hey, our big game of the night, thanks to John Foy, and it's actually the afternoon because we got Braves baseball at 3:10 today in Colorado with Chris Sale on the mound, and everything means we'll be 500 after today. We take a big, deep breath. Everybody rest up tomorrow, and then the Dodgers come to town 4-3.
Hey, the 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Graff has entered the fray from New Orleans. Seersucker recommended wearing mine on Sunday for my son's first communion.
Aww.
My son also got one for the occasion. They have a horse track in New Orleans, right? A lot of fun.
New Orleans and Shreveport. I grew up in the Shreveport Bossier City.
And they had horses?
Louisiana Downs. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
My sister worked at a casino or at the casino/racetrack for many, many years.
So what do you think
would be fun.
What would be more fun for Atlanta, casino or horse track?
Man, can you get a combo of both? I feel like that should be the play. That'd be a lot of fun. Horse tracks or tons
so
of fun.
404-726-0929. There goes Rusty. That's my... You don't understand Boston till you understand dog tracks. Like, I went to Taunton Raynham dog track on a Tuesday afternoon. I was there with my buddy Dogsy, Sully, Kaka, Jimmy, Freddie. We'd go to dog tracks.
So fun.
Oh, my God. I knew how to handicap the dogs, thoroughbred racing, when I was like 11 years old.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And we would leave high school.
How did you know this?
Because we studied it. I would sit in English class. I had my buddy who's the most successful businessman I know. His name's Dogsy. And he would go like this. Like, I'm doing my fingers around in a circle. That was the sign that we need to get out of here after this class.
And you're 11 years old?
No, no, no. That's when we were driving. Oh. So we were 16. And he'd go like this. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, dude. We got to get four or five races in. So they had one at Wonderland Dog Track. Now there's a casino there, which is the Encore Casino. But we spent time at Wonderland. Let me tell you something. You haven't seen the dregs of society till you've been to Wonderland Dog Track in Revere, Mass. On a Tuesday at 4:12 in the afternoon.
That's so funny.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before on the air. If you had a documentary filmmaker, you show up at Revere, Wonderland, and you go up to five people, and you go, tell us your life story. How did you end up here? How did you end up at a dog track in Revere on a Tuesday at 4? I would argue it wasn't exactly the life of the Kennedys,
sure.
Right?
Like, everybody would like have somebody such a would sad be like, tale. Yes. It'd be a sad, sad documentary.
They got their racing form in their hand, right?
Right.
They got a bourbon or a donkey coffee, and you go like, just talk to the camera. How did you end up here?
Right.
Because I'm thinking you're not I'm thinking you weren't at MIT up the street as a microbiologist. I'm just guessing.
Oh wow.
404-726-0929.
A little bit of breaking news from the Atlanta Falcons. Per Adam Schefter, the Falcons have exercised Drake London's fifth-year option. The deadline was literally tomorrow. So there you go. No details yet other than they've exercised the option.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. He's going to have his best year ever with Michael Penix.
9-5.
At the helm, right?
Wes Durham with that 9-5 line got me so excited last year when Penix took Drake London working 9-5, y'all. All right, here we go.
Ooh,
sorry.
Dude, that's a marketing
that's
explosion.
A t-shirt.
Joey and Carrollton. Hey, Joey, who's worse at kids' games, mom or dad?
It depends on the age group, but overall, I'm going to go with the dad.
The casino or horse track, what would be more fun for Atlanta?
Horse track, way more entertaining.
Yeah, it feels like it's not as seedy sometimes, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. You know?
Where did you eat dinner for prom?
Trying to the name Maggiano's Little Italy in Atlanta.
So I said earlier, that's the spot. Thank you, my friend.
I have some really big breaking news, and Falcons, you're not going to like this. The NFL has confirmed the Falcons have been fined $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft per Ian Rapoport. And thank you, Rusty, for
Arthur
sending me that.
Blank
losing
dealing with
y'all.
That. I want you to think about on a day they could have celebrated two number ones after losing the Kirk Cousins pick because of him opening his mouth and the Judon pick, and now they're fine this money. What? Unreal. Oscar in Lawrenceville. Hey, Oscar, worse at kids' games, mom or dad?
Mom, definitely.
The casino or the horse track? More fun for Atlanta.
I've never been to a horse track. It would be awesome to go up. That's all I have to say, casino.
I've never been to one either. So
I want to take you. I want to take
Let's
you
go
away.
Now.
No, I want to take you to a horse track.
I'm going to tag
where
along.
Where did you eat dinner for prom?
I don't know if it's still open, but I went to a Brio, an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, Brio.
Oh,
by,
that's perimeter. Brio. That's a good one.
Wednesday night Brio in Buckhead.
Was the spot. Woo!
All right.
Thank you.
DJ in Dallas. Who is worse at kids' games, mom or dad?
The mom, for sure.
Casino or horse track, more fun for Atlanta?
I like the combo idea, but I've been begging for a casino for years.
Where did you eat dinner for prom?
Afterwards, we all met up at IHOP late night.
I like it. Good little
That's
run.
That's fun, yeah.
Shoney's? How about late night Shoney's, New Orleans? I did so much damage to that all-you-can-eat buffet at Shoney's. I mean, let's just say my wife would never would have married me if she ever saw what I was capable of at Shoney's late night.
And you remember how much that was? Because Tallahassee on Tennessee Street, you guys remember this?
$6.99?
Right. It was nothing, and yeah. It was the sickest.
You remember Shoney's?
Woo.
I remember going to Shoney's this in many,
the
many
late
years.
Night
All
buffet.
You can eat breakfast bar.
Oh,
it
my
was
God.
Sick.
In New Orleans, I hit Crystal. Crystal was open till 6 a.m.
Right, right.
Hey, thank you, Bo. Thank you, listeners. Sandy's back again tomorrow. We're excited, and Andy and Randy up next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.